Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. A century ago, very few babies were born in hospitals. Most all births took place outside a hospital, usually at home. Today, that number is much, much smaller, but rising. A study by the Maryland Population Research Center at the University of Maryland estimates that 1.5% of U.S. births take place outside a hospital. While that is just 60,000 of the 4 million babies born last year, it is an increase of 50% compared to out-of-hospital births in 2004. There to assist with births in Maryland that take place at home or at birthing centers are certified professional midwives, CPMs, sometimes called non-nurse or direct entry midwives. Certified professional midwives have been licensed to assist with home births in the state since January a year ago. Alexa Richardson is a certified professional midwife who practices at Birthwise Midwifery, based in Catonsville. She's the chair of the Direct Entry Midwifery Advisory Committee for the state of Maryland, and she's former president of the Association of Independent Midwives of Maryland, Maryland's professional group for midwives. Alexa Richardson, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
The state law that went into effect 13 months ago, what does it do?
We're really excited about the new law, which we worked for several years. There was a big grassroots movement of families in Maryland that really fought for access to licensed certified professional midwives. In January 2017, the Board of Nursing issued the first licenses and opened up access for families in Maryland to choose this kind of care and to birth in this kind of way with a licensed and regulated provider in Maryland.
And just spell it out. When you say this kind of care, you mean?
Midwifery care with a certified professional midwife, which typically is at-home birth. Midwives also provide services in birth centers, although we're yet to see that happen in Maryland with certified professional midwives, and we're hoping that will happen in the next coming years. Certified professional midwives provide comprehensive care throughout the childbearing cycle, so complete prenatal care with a midwife, home birth with a midwife, and then postpartum care after that. And those are services that Maryland families were really desiring and seeking. And so we're excited that now we have a legislative structure for it.
I think many listeners may be more familiar with the phrase certified nurse midwife. What's the difference between a certified professional midwife and a certified nurse midwife?
Absolutely. So there are certified nurse midwives who do home birth and birth center birth, and we have several great ones here in Maryland. But certified professional midwives are the main out-of-hospital care providers nationwide. So our certification is specifically in out-of-hospital birth. Our training all takes place out of hospital, and all certified professional midwives care for families outside of the hospital. Certified nurse midwives train as nurses first and typically do most of their training, and most of them work in hospital settings. So certified professional midwives are sort of more the experts in the out-of-hospital care.
And so the phrase direct entry means someone who's a midwife who did not first become a nurse.
Correct. And so that all of our training time was spent training in the art and science of midwifery rather than spending half of our training as a nurse and then becoming a midwife after that.
What kind of training do direct entry midwives get?
The process to become a certified professional midwife typically takes 3 to 5 years, and it involves 5 phases of clinical training with a qualified preceptor.
Who or what is a preceptor?
A preceptor is a qualified, experienced midwife who can train a new midwife. So the training really emphasizes hands-on training in the birth setting, sort of competency-based, clinical-based education. And during that time, midwives are learning all the intricacies of labor and birth throughout the whole process. They're also learning a lot of emergency care measures because really the role of a midwife is to support and facilitate the physiological birth process and also to be a lifeguard and be ready to react and respond if there's any kind of emergency that comes up during the birth process.
You gave us sort of an overview of the care during pregnancy. Tell me more about that. What is the care that a midwife provides?
Yeah, so midwives give comprehensive care through the childbearing cycle. So we see people from the beginning of when they first become pregnant, and we do full prenatal care We offer all of the same testing and sort of medical piece that any practice would offer in pregnancy. So things like blood work and sonograms and things like that. I know in my practice and in most midwifery practices, we do that with an awful lot of informed consent. So there's a lot of conversation about each of the available tests and options, and our clients choose which testing they would like to do or don't want to do. But most of our clients do choose to do the majority of the testing. The midwifery model really emphasizes the information and the discussion about, you know, what the tests are and putting that autonomy and decision making in the lap of the pregnant person to decide what works for them.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with certified professional midwife Alexa Richardson. In January 2017, the first license permitting non-nurse midwives to assist with home births was issued in Maryland. You mentioned that that families in Maryland were eager for this kind of care. How do you know how many families are trying to get it? How often do mothers choose a home birth in Maryland?
You know, we don't have great data yet, but we're going to have really good data soon about how many families are choosing home birth. What I can say is, you know, thousands of families came out to Annapolis over the years to really advocate for this access. And we saw a big grassroots movement to pass the legislation. And home birth is definitely appears on the ground to be really growing and expanding since we've seen licensure happening.
What conditions prevent midwives from taking on an expectant mother as a patient?
What we know from the data about home birth is that home birth works really well for low-risk women. And what that means is that they don't have any major medical pre-existing conditions going into pregnancy. So that could be things like, you know, diabetes, hypertension, renal disease or heart diseases, anything, you know, major medical pre-existing condition would typically make someone not a good candidate for home birth. And then there are some things that can arise during pregnancy that can also mean that someone would be better off in a hospital setting. So part of making sure that home birth is safe and works well is picking the right candidates to be at home, which means, you know, typically a low-risk pregnancy with a single baby that goes to full term and baby is head down at the time of delivery.
There's also, as I recall, some controversy or question of high risk with mothers who have had a cesarean section for a previous birth. Are they candidates for home birth in Maryland?
They are not. So the law includes a big list of conditions that kind of spells out, you know, conditions that are considered high risk for home birth or conditions where we should consult with another type of provider during the course of care. And most of those we agree with. Most of those are pretty standard and accepted limitations for home birth. But one that I myself and the midwifery community doesn't agree with that was included in the bill is a previous C-section. And it's something that we are actively working to change.
And what is the core of the disagreement between you and established medicine on this?
There is a conversation about safety, and it's an important conversation that we need to be having. But what we know about the risks associated with vaginal birth after cesarean section, the main risk associated with that is uterine rupture, and the level of risk of uterine rupture is very low, and it's on par with the level of risk of some other emergency medical things that can arise in pregnancy and birth that don't disqualify other women from attempting a home birth with that level of risk. And so we believe that the level of risk of uterine rupture is low enough that it should still be within the range of options for families to choose, especially since there aren't good options for having a vaginal birth after cesarean in the hospitals in Maryland. Maryland has a 13% vaginal birth after cesarean rate, which is abysmal.
What is the national rate?
Well, we don't have a good national rate, but we know that when people are given the option to try, 60 to 80% of them succeed. So the real problem is people are not being offered the option to try to birth vaginally after having had a first C-section. And so those families are really passionate about finding other options. And that really leads into a lot of the reasons why a lot of families are seeking a different kind of care during birth, which is that, you know, Maryland has a 35% cesarean section rate in our hospitals. That's over 1 in 3 people who are going in to give birth in our hospitals that are coming out with major abdominal surgery. And many of those operations are life-saving and important, but not all of them. The World Health Organization tells us that an appropriate cesarean section rate is about 10 to 15% at the population level, which means we have a lot of people experiencing some unnecessary medical intervention during their labor process. And it's getting harder for families to birth normally in a hospital setting. And so a lot of women, a lot of people, when they're getting pregnant, they're doing a lot of research, and they're saying, I'd like the opportunity to birth vaginally. I'd like to have an expert in vaginal birth present at my labor and somebody who can really help me get the baby out physiologically. And I think that's one reason why families have worked so hard to have access to certified professional midwives and why we're excited to see it growing in Maryland.
How much does a home birth cost compared to a hospital birth?
Typically, home birth is about $3,500 to $5,000. Depending on the provider, and that includes the full care, so the prenatal care, the birth, and the postpartum. Hospital births can range from, you know, $10,000 to $30,000 or $40,000, particularly for cesarean births. Those can get very pricey. So it's substantially less expensive to birth at home.
And does Medicaid cover the cost for people who are on Medicaid?
Medicaid does not currently cover certified professional midwives in Maryland. And the big barrier to that is that in order to be able to be covered by Medicaid, providers have to carry a big malpractice insurance. And it's a barrier to small providers like ourselves being able to carry that level of malpractice insurance to qualify to be covered by Medicaid.
Is that true of other insurers also, that they don't cover it?
No, there are other insurers. Private insurers tend to be able to cover, and many practices now do bill for insurance.
We're going to take a quick break here, talking to certified professional midwife Alexa Richardson on the record on WIPR. When we come back, we'll hear from a mom who's chosen to give birth at home. Why? I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us. Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. In 2015, the legislature passed and Governor Hogan signed into law a bill allowing non-nurse midwives to assist with home births. These nurses are known as certified professional midwives and receive training from accredited programs. Alexa Richardson, a certified professional midwife and chair of the state's Direct Entry Midwifery Advisory Committee, is with us. And joining us now is Loren Turner. She has had 2 home births and is a doula. Loren, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
What is a doula?
So a doula is someone who assists the mom physically and emotionally and helps her through getting through the labor. A doula can also offer prenatals and afterbirth help, but she doesn't catch the baby. That's the main objective. She doesn't catch the baby. She doesn't offer any medical advice.
Yeah. You had both your son and your daughter at home. Why did you choose that? Why did you choose home birth?
I was kind of doing my research before, and I had a teacher from Australia see that I was pregnant, and I didn't know anything about birth. And she contacted me, and she sent me some articles, and she sent me a documentary called The Business of Being Born. And I watched the documentary, and of course, it's kind of biased, right? Like, they want to push having home birth. But I thought, like, let me research it more. So I researched it, and I was like, yeah, that's for me. I'm more of an emotional person. So I pictured myself being in a hospital and being uncomfortable. Maybe someone is having a bad day, or maybe someone doesn't like the way that I look because, you know, I'm black. And I thought about all the things that I wanted for my birth. I thought of having my son in love. And I met someone that I felt like could give me that. But I also had a actual doctor and a midwife. So I went both routes at the same time.
And what was it like having a birth at home?
It was beautiful. By the time I went to active labor, it was about 7 o'clock. July, actually, it was nice and warm outside, and I could hear the birds chirping, and I actually had a water birth, too. So the water was perfect, and I started naturally pushing. It was like a spiritual moment. It felt like I was connecting with him, and I felt him moving down, and I just had the best experience just feeling him and knowing that I even touched his head. Like, I was in a squatting position and I felt his hair and I said, oh my gosh, this is actually happening. Because I just, you know, it was just a beautiful moment. And my husband actually got to catch the baby and everything was perfect. Like, it was a serene feeling.
Alexa, why might other women choose a home birth?
Well, we talked a little bit about the reasons why some people don't want to be in a hospital setting, and some of that has to do with, you know, maybe unwanted interventions, also sort of a lack of control of the setting, and a lot of strangers present. I think a lot of people who are choosing home birth, they really value having knowing everyone who's in their space really well, having those relationships and connections with their providers and able to experience the birth with each other in a way that can be sometimes difficult to achieve in a hospital setting. And also, I think people really crave the control of the environment, the ability to have it quiet, protected, safe feeling, dim lights, soft voices, supportive people present. So I think those are some of the reasons why people are choosing home birth as well.
Is it a religious choice for some people?
For some people, I think it aligns with their religious and philosophical beliefs. We certainly care for a lot of families that are deeply religious, but we also care for a lot of, you know, secular families who've just done their research and really want to maximize their opportunity to have a vaginal birth and an unmedicated birth.
Home births not include medication, pain medication?
That's correct, yeah. So home births are doing birth the old-fashioned way in many ways. And one of those ways is working through labor and contractions without pain medication. That being said, we do a ton of labor support, a lot of nurturing and encouragement, back rubbing, massage. We use the water in the tub for the discomfort as well. So we do a lot to help our clients work through labor.
Loren, you mentioned that you felt apprehensive about giving birth in a hospital because of your race. Tell us more about that.
So having the history of women, black women, slaves being used and tortured through gynecology, I felt kind of scared to have my baby at the hospital. Serena Williams experienced trauma in the hospital because no one was listening to her. And my husband actually has a similar blood clotting disorder that she does. Her blood was clotting and the hospital wasn't really listening to her needs. And that was one of my fears, being an advocate for myself and telling them that I needed something and them not listening to me. So
have you had that experience in the medical system?
I haven't had the experience directly, but family members, even my husband, dealing with things like that. Imagine having a baby in a hospital and people may judge you for the way that you look or the way that you talk. So going to the hospital and being around people that I didn't know, I didn't want to be in that space. That's why it was important for me to birth in a safe environment, because sometimes the hospitals aren't safe, you know, especially for black women.
Yeah, I think what Loren is saying and is so important in the conversation is that there is a crisis right now in obstetric care in this country. And part of that crisis stems from the fact that women and people in labor are not being heard or listen to appropriately, that we have such a difference in power sometimes between medical providers. And there's so much that they're concerned about and worried about and getting done, that sometimes the voices of people who are in labor, who are giving birth, are not being heard and aren't being responded to. And in some cases, that can lead to life-threatening medical situations like Loren was describing with Serena Williams. I think that happens probably disproportionately to women of color and poor women. And in some cases, that can just lead to traumatizing birth experiences for people who were not heard, were not listened to, weren't respected or given the autonomy that they deserve during their pregnancy or their birthing process. And so I hope that outside of sort of home birth or midwifery care in general, that the voices of all of these advocates are being heard more and more, and people who are really, really fighting fundamentally to be listened to, heard, and respected during the pregnancy and birthing process.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with certified professional midwife Alexa Richardson. She's chair of the state's Direct to Entry Midwifery Advisory Committee. We're talking about the impact of the state's decision in 2015 to allow midwives with professional certifications to practice in Maryland, in addition to midwives who are nurses. Also with us is Loren Turner, who has had two home births, and she is a doula. Loren, how do you become a doula?
So I went through Birthwell with Nalaja Brown. She has a, it's a community of birth doulas that came together. And we actually were on Facebook too.
Alexa, how many licenses have been issued for direct entry midwives in Maryland?
I think at this point we've issued 14 licenses to certified professional midwives. And, you know, of course, since it's a new profession and it was prohibited prior to 2015, we're hoping to see more growth and more midwives licensed. Ideally, I think in a state the size of Maryland, we would have 30 to 40 licensed certified professional midwives working in the state. And so hopefully in the next, you know, 5 or 8 years, we can see more midwives getting trained and licensed in the area.
I'm grateful to you both for talking to us about it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
Alexa Richardson, a certified professional midwife who practices at Birthwise Midwifery, is chair of the Direct Entry Midwifery Advisory Committee for the state of Maryland. Loren Turner is a doula practicing in the Baltimore area. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.